Trigger warning. Today's episode centers on death. This was recorded over the holidays in my hometown of St. Louis. We interviewed my dad, who's an essential worker, and he's seen some pretty devastating events. The audio isn't perfect, and it is a shorter episode than usual, but it's a story we felt necessary to share, especially as we enter a new year and reflect on 2020. It's important to remember that the lives lost in the pandemic are not a statistic. They're people. It's important to honor the people working in hospitals for the trauma that they're witnessing every single day. It's important to be kind in a time like this. So, as we ring in a new year, treat people with kindness, stay positive, test negative, and enjoy episode 9. Hi, I'm Caroline Amos.
And I'm Raymond McAnally.
And we are
fatigued.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, Raymond.
Happy New Year, Caroline.
Happy New Year, Dad.
Thanks, Caroline. Happy New Year, Raymond and Caroline.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm glad it's a new year.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad it's a new year, too. Let's just pretend like the other one never existed, shall
we? Let's drop kick 2020.
Amen. Although there is something interesting. I've actually seen this online now, but I've been thinking about it for a while, that there's something to the fact that this year is called 2021, as in 2021. Last year.
2021. Every person lost. No one won 2020.
Nobody.
That's great.
Yikes. Yeah. Worst year of everyone's lives. Hopefully we got it out of the way. Hopefully no one has a terrible year.
And that might actually be a good thing. It's kind of like everybody gets a get out of jail free card. You know, like if your resume tanked for a year, if anything happened, all you got to say is 2020. People are going to understand.
It's a catch-all. Yeah. Awesome. Well, to begin, I am in St. Louis, Missouri with my dear old dad right here.
Thanks.
And we thought it'd be a great opportunity to interview him because he works in hospitals and he has seen a few things given COVID existing and whatnot. Yeah. So to begin, we know that he can't mention the name of his job or the specific names of the hospitals that he has worked in just because he wants to honor the confidentiality of those things.
Mm-hmm. Please.
You're Absolutely. Welcome. We will do that. Sure. Yes.
Thank you for sharing whatever it is you feel like sharing today. And I don't even think that those specifics are necessary. We have you sharing with us what you've personally experienced, and I imagine these experiences are happening at hospitals all over the country.
Dad, what do you do for a living?
Okay, so I'm a medical sales rep, and more specifically, I'm a surgical sales rep, and I've been in the business of orthopedics for about 30 years, and my job takes me into the operating room with the surgeons and all the staff. And through the years, I've seen pretty much just about everything. And
I imagine, you know,
trauma, reconstruction. What I do currently is really a fun job because we help kids, and it's very fulfilling. So,
oh, I bet.
At any rate, orthopedically. And so with my job comes certain level of stress. Pre-2020, anytime you're in the surgery unit of a hospital, things need to run effectively as well as efficiently. So it's sort of it's a very, very stressful environment, as is the ICU and surgical ICU. And you feel like over time you get hardened to things. You know, I've witnessed it all. I've seen limbs blown off, you name it. And but this year's been a real mental test for everybody in the entire medical community. And my hats are off to all of the staff and the nurses and hospitals that work in these places. Best way I could describe 2020 is a bunch of really, really devoted people that were scared to death and are still scared to death and confused. When are they going to get vaccinated? Who's going to do this? What? And it's just created a very, very mentally stressful environment, even more so than it ever was before.
And it sounds like you're talking about when you mention those stressed people, are you referring to the medical professionals?
Correct. In the hospital? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not even the patients who are coming in need. Those are
these
the doctors and nurses.
The doctors, the nurses, all the different staff members. They just push through and do what they're told It's been a very, very different year than any other because of the heightened level of stress with COVID and all the tragedy that goes along with it.
On a daily basis, how much would you say your job has changed?
Oh, my gosh, 180. You know, we do have to sell, so we do go and call on offices, you know, bring lunch in, explain our products and things to the surgeons. And there's none of that. You can't even go into lots of surgeons' offices. It's a one patient in, one patient out. And so we've had to really morph into more of a virtual world like everybody is. And my company's put on these great webinars with some really prominent surgeons from around the country and the world and invited these various surgeons from around the country to witness, participate, chat with them, whatever. So it's really gone from a lot of hands on to a lot of hands off, I guess is the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I am an essential healthcare worker. So when we do an implant, then I have to be there or somebody has to cover me because the surgeons, they want us there. They have questions for us. They want to get our opinions. They want to know, hey, what do you think of that area here? What would you do with this or that kind of thing? Plus, it's our job to make sure that surgical suite is completely set up correctly and that everything's in order and ready to go.
Right.
And so you're in and around the hospitals all the time. And in 2020, I was unfortunately witness to two COVID-related fatalities at a hospital while I was there. And I think that's what you guys wanted to ask me about.
In part, yeah. 'Cause those are the kind of experiences that, you know, it's been interesting. Caroline and I were talking about wanting to the whole reason for doing this podcast was to give people, humanize the issue and give people the information they need to make informed decisions. And I do think it's important to talk about the mortality rate of this. We've been trying to figure out how to do that without feeling exploitative. You know, how do you talk to somebody who has had a near-death experience or lost a loved one? So I appreciate that you're willing to come on and share what you've seen because for whatever reason, we as human beings are swayed sometimes far more by anecdotal evidence, by people's stories than we mm-hmm. are. I mean, I guess Caroline and I were in the... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I said, I hope that what I say will maybe help some people to realize that maybe a mask isn't a bad idea right now.
Right.
Or, you know, being a little more careful around groups and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think what Raymond
so
was
if you could
just
pick...
about to say is that, oh, wait.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to touch on the fact that most of the time in this podcast, as you've listened, my dad's the most devoted listener, by the way. But
That's
as my dad's
great.
Listened, we usually end up like finding a lot of humor in certain situations and all that stuff. And so far we've touched on people's sort of opinions and symptoms, but this is like our first toe dip into some perhaps more sadder and mm-hmm. Grief related territory. So thank you for just being our guinea pig with that and for sharing whatever it is you feel comfortable sharing.
Sure. I was at a hospital in a rural area, but it serves a rather large geographical area. So this hospital is mammoth. It's enormous. Mm-hmm. And the way it's laid out is surgery, ICU, surgical ICUs, all kind of on one huge wing. And I was there for a surgery, and it wasn't going to start for another half hour. And over the loudspeaker came, honor parade in 10 minutes. Honor parade in 10 minutes. All available medical personnel, please attend. All available medical personnel, please attend.
Did you know when you heard that, did you know what an honor parade was?
I did, but I hadn't heard or seen. It's not something that has been very well covered for whatever reason by the media, but in certain instances in hospitals, they have what's called an honor parade, and what happens is that when the parade occurs, all the available medical personnel line the walls 6 feet apart. And this place is so mammoth, the hallway was like a mile long. I mean, and then out came the body, and where I was fairly close to where that was. And at that point, they had not cloaked the victim's head yet. And as they were rolling the body past, his head happened to be rolled over in my direction. And so I have that memory etched in my brain of a guy looked like about 40-something. And then you can hear this just... the nurses and everybody that had a stake in it, everybody feels like they have a stake in it. The sobbing and you know, just all, it's extremely emotional. And I got to tell you, it took me, I couldn't talk to anybody about it for at least a week. And I think Caroline was the first person I really talked to about it, but it makes you question your mortality.
Sure.
It makes you, it really affects your psyche. And the second instance was rather recent. And I was on a bridge going over into the hospital so that everything's heated and air conditioned. And they stopped everybody. And I can't remember what the announcement was, but it was they were paying tribute. And this, so I was standing at the window, and directly below me was a whole bunch of police motorcycles and squad cars, then a hearse, and some fire trucks and EMTs behind that. And they were loading the body of a 10-year-old boy in it.
Oh, my God.
And his mother was being helped by two other individuals. And I could just tell from the window, I couldn't hear her. She was wailing. That's what this is what 2020 has been. And if people don't take coronavirus seriously, especially now with the new mutation that's gone on, and yeah. Now they're finding it in Colorado, it's here.
Yeah, I had heard that.
We've really got to, as a country, come together and save ourselves. So this kind of thing is for us medical workers, and I'm sort of the bottom of the food chain, if you will. You know, the reps are, you know, they always say, as long as the reps there, they can get blamed for everything. So, anyway, but it makes me think of my loved ones every time I'm walking into work in a hospital.
And I bet. And sure is the intensity of that more now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if these are two specific examples that you've witnessed, I mean, imagine the doctors that are dealing with it face to face, trying to keep those people alive who are witnessing this every day.
I know some of them. I'm getting choked up here because these folks are amazing. These people that work in the ERs, the best way to describe it is that they just say, to hell with you, COVID. I'm coming in and I'm doing my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hell of a sacrifice for someone to make. But they took the oath, remember?
Yeah. And I imagine that's a have to. You know, I mean, they know more than any of us the severity of the situation, yet they're willing to expose themselves a maximum amount of exposure every day to try and help people through this and save lives.
Something that we keep hearing in our interviews is that people will say, you can't let yourself think about it. You have to just go into it.
Mm-hmm. You can't let it run your life. You have to be responsible with what you do, but you still have to go and push forward.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you've done this year in situations where you had to enter the hospital that you've done differently to mentally prepare yourself? Or have you consciously thought about it?
Yes. You may laugh, but I listened to a lot of music, a lot of different kind of music, and psychologists say that singing for 20 minutes a day it helps release some of the serotonins or whatever dopamine in your brain, and it helps you deal with that. And thank God, you know, I'm usually driving by myself. I'm a horrible Neil Young singer, and
it's okay. So is Neil Young.
Pretty much.
I said that's okay. So is Neil Young. I love him, but not the best voice in the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's one weird, funny dude. And so I've been singing and just using breathing exercises. I've always done that. Just being around surgery alone, you need to do breathing exercises, you know, because you're there for a patient, you know. Those nurses in those units, those ICU COVID units, they're there for those patients. You have to concentrate on those patients and just kind of circle back to everything. My hat, the signs are real. They are heroes. These folks are risking their lives. It's like they're going to the front line of Afghanistan and don't even have a gun.
Yeah. Well, even so. Just under normal circumstances, the lengths that healthcare workers go to make people feel comfortable. I remember my sister and I have been talking about it a lot, and I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast yet, but we lost my mom last year, last June. And for the first five, For the first 5 months of 2019, we spent a month and a half in and out of the hospital. And it was her heart plus her kid plus, I mean, it was multiple systems kind of failing all at once. But she was a fighter and she decided to go into hospice. And then she was in hospice for 3 months. So for five months, all we had, she had made the decision. She wasn't going to go on any machine. She wasn't gonna fight it. She wanted her body to go naturally. But it took a while. And all we had was the ability to visit her. And the nursing staff was amazing. It was a level of care that there was no – the whole reason we – she decided to go into a nursing home for her hospice. And I was glad that she was cognizant and could make that decision herself. And then I saw the level of care that she got there. And it was worth every penny. It was worth not having her at home, because we just could not have done 24/7 what those healthcare workers were doing. It was extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
when, certainly a passion.
Yeah. And I've had, you know, I've of the majority of the families I know who have lost loved ones this year, especially at the beginning, they were nursing home patients, the loved one who died. And I just, I almost have to shut it out. I can't even allow myself to go there, because truly the only solace we had was to be able to visit my mom, especially when dementia-like symptoms took over. And that was a lot of these people's situations. And I just can't, you know, we're seeing these stories in the news where the healthcare worker is the only one who's allowed to be in the room with the dying patient holding their hand. And I don't think people are taking that in. You know, I don't think, and I wonder what that is. I mean, I don't know. You guys might have a theory. I think it's just hard. It's hard to accept that level of mortality and to act accordingly. You know what I mean? Because kind of like these healthcare workers, you wouldn't function during the day if you thought about how severe this is. I don't know.
One of the saddest things about the first honor parade that I witnessed was that once the body went past, then four, five, six relatives that were allowed into the room after the person had succumbed. Just the looks on their faces are etched in my head forever. So,
I imagine those people are not every situation in COVID, not every person gets an opportunity to be with their loved one when they pass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is like really rare and heartbreaking. You also got to think about the, you know, the medical staff who are there holding their hands as people are passing. That is a lot. That is a lot of grief to go through on a daily basis. And I don't think any medical personnel could fathom a situation like this happening, especially when they took the Hippocratic Oath. Mm-hmm. That's the right oath, right? Hippocratic?
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes to people not being able to fathom, I think what's really hard to witness in the world today is realizing how many people, like the line is very clear, the scope of everyone's empathy. You, like, I'm now understanding how everybody else's empathy around me works. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning things about people I love, and I'm learning things about people I don't love, and I'm learning things.
She points to me.
Shut up. I love you. But you're learning stuff about people around you and about how far their ability to empathize goes.
Yeah.
And that's, I never thought that that's something I'd have to look at. Like you, there are some people I don't ever want to look in the face ever again as a result of their actions, you know, going out without masks and
things. Yeah. And I do think that there's another layer of it. There's a layer of some people that I see showing no empathy. It reminds me of when you find out that a bully was abused, right? It reminds me that of when you find out that the person who is the hardest, the most stoic, the most reserved, not showing any feeling is probably the most emotional person in the room. And that's how they've learned to cope with it. So there are a few people in my life who have made me aware of that, who I've known them for so long that the adult version of themselves that they present to the world, I know I've known them since they were in third grade, second grade, first grade, whatever. We grew up together. I know a core of them that's incredibly emotional, incredibly open, and they've developed this more closed off version of themselves to get through the adult world. And I do have to remind myself that that's a version that exists, because otherwise I would be blown away. Like how can you not, you know, how can you talk? I think about this all the time. How can you talk about a 99% survival rate and treat, you know, just reduce everything to numbers?
Yeah, that's, you know, even though there's a 99% survival rate.
I think I said that backwards. I just realized I think I said a 99% mortality rate. But anyway, hopefully we wouldn't ignore that.
I think you said it.
Okay. I
thought you said the right one. Anyway, it's, you know, all those 1% are still precious people to other people. And it's a lot of people. And instead of just saying 1%, that doesn't do it justice. But when you say worldwide X number of people have perished,
yeah,
you know, this is going to go down in history as a big, huge thing.
Yeah.
And it's nothing more than the flu.
To some people, yeah.
It's a bad one.
Yeah. You know what's, did you guys hear a couple days ago, I think it was as of December 23rd, 1 in 1,000 Americans have died from COVID.
Would not surprise me.
I have like 4,000 friends on Facebook, maybe like 2,000. Maybe I'm inflating that number because I want to let everyone know that I've got a lot of friends. But still, either way, still, that's a very real number.
Yeah.
You know?
Statistically, you know. A few people who've passed.
Statistically, I know. I probably know a couple people that have died.
Well, I didn't look up today's numbers, but I think the news said yesterday we were up to 357,000 dead from this, just in the U.S.
Something like, yeah.
You know, we're to the point that was it more people are dying a day or close to the same number of people are dying per day that died in 9/11.
We surpassed that number, I think, in early December. Yeah. Dad.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to know, is there anything that gives you hope in the world right now?
No, sure. I mean, they're going to have a viable vaccination sooner. It's more than likely going to be later. Anything the FDA or the federal government says, any kind of deadline, just add 3 months to it at least. But,
that's so
you know,
true.
There's scientists all over the world are tackling this thing, and they'll beat it. But there is hope.
There's also, you know, it's when you think about the hospitals, right? And I think it's easy to think that, oh, the hospitals are just made up of COVID patients. But like on top of COVID, people are still like having problems with their health no matter what.
Right.
I'm terrified for the people that like have to go in because they like broke an arm, broke a leg, have bronchitis, need like a shot or something like that. It's amazing to think about the fact that those hospitals are just packed to the brim with people. who need all kinds of things. And on with that, there are still people, I mean, there are still people dying. There are still people being born, you know, there are people getting help. I mean, it's like, what an emotionally charged area to be in is a hospital, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I, if I don't tell you enough, I love you very much.
Thanks. I love you too, boo.
And I am also just really, I'm really proud to be your daughter because I know that what you do for a living is really hard. And thank I can you. Tell it takes an emotional toll. And I'm really grateful for you.
Well, thanks a lot.
And thank I think you. There's a lot of other people out there who may not know you by name who are also really grateful for you.
Well, I hope they're more grateful all the true healthcare workers, you know, the people that are on the front lines just as much. That's Caroline's grandmother's flip phone from about 1919.
Oh, man. What a wonderful note to end on.
And Mama? It's not going to shut up, Raymond.
It's got a powerful ring to it.
It does.
It's like, hang on, wait a second. It's... I can grab it and show you on the video. It's a flip phone.
Oh, wow.
Ta-da. Ta-da.
That's like straight out of the wire.
Ah!
Granny's got a burner. That's a burner phone.
Oh, I just hung up on my uncle. Oh, well.
Which one?
Kevin.
Oh, I'll call him. Oh, my God. Here, let me just talk to him.
And on that note... Have a safe new year.
You too.
Hey, this is Caroline.
And Raymond.
We wanted to say thank you for listening to this episode and let you know that there will be more every week from now until we get fatigued by it.
We're building out this podcast as we go, so stay tuned for improvements on our website, our graphics and video clips, and just everything else. The time was now to tell our stories, so we're learning as we go. We really do appreciate your interest and support.
We truly hope that the personal stories that come out in each episode can help build a better understanding of COVID-19, how it spreads, and how it affects us.
If you have a story or a question that you'd like us to address in an episode, please email us at fatiguedpodcast@gmail.com. That's FATIGUED podcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.